And off we go on a Thursday night, October 23rd, 2014. Talking a little LSU Ole Miss. Oh boy, Patrick Morris, somewhere in Metairie tonight.
Somewhere.
Somewhere in Metairie. We're trying again. Hey, Pat.
Hey, Gary.
What's going on, man?
Don't know. Rough and busy night, but ready to talk a little football here real quick.
Outstanding. This is the Go Show, your original LSU podcast. You know us. We're in partnership with AnnaValleyShook.com, part of SB Nation. Ways to get in touch with the show, as always. Tweet at the website at Valley Shook. Me and Patrick are on Twitter as well, at Go Show Kerry and at Cat Godfather, respectively. And if you want to find the show, the easiest way to do it, just go to iTunes, subscribe to us from that route, and you will hear us for free. Anytime you want, any day, any night, whatever you want to do. So, Patrick Morris, I know you don't have a lot of time. Let's dive right into it. I'm an eating crow. We beat Kentucky 41-3. Didn't see it coming. What's your thoughts?
I don't know if I saw 41-3 coming, but the way Kentucky was coming off some other games, we said it last week, looking ahead, that was going to be a big scenario, and I think they were. And then once they finally realized they had a game to play down there, it was over. So, and then you know Les Miles' MO, take the air out the ball once you're way ahead, and that's what we did.
He takes the air out of the ball no matter what the scenario is.
Well, let's just say that, yeah. But it was easy for him to do it the other night. I mean, once we got cranking, the thing I was most impressed of, it's obviously we ran the ball. But we ran the ball, Ta-Ta McGee seemed to make a little bit of a comeback. You know, some of that other, you know, the offensive line continues to improve. I am seeing us improving now. I'm not saying we're throwing the ball any better, but as far as, okay, we got to play man ball now. We can't play, this isn't the Little Leagues anymore. We've got to step up, and this is the SEC. This is SEC West, the best conference or half a conference in the entire country, you know? So I think we're finally realizing that these freshmen are becoming semi-men, and we're starting to play a little bit.
Yeah, I guess if you look back to the Auburn game and saw what kind of success we were having running the football on first down, we just couldn't do anything after that, it seemed. You're also starting to see an offensive line starting to get better. And if you run a ball on first and second down the entire year, you're only bound to get better at it. I mean, when you got six guys blocking eight, I guess you get nothing. You can't do anything but find ways to open up holes, and that's I guess what they're doing to this point. Now, granted, Florida didn't really stack the box too much. I didn't really go back and look at the Kentucky game to really see what they were doing, if they were playing eight in the box or not. But you know, regardless, we are doing something finally in a running game. If we can just accentuate the positive and start to develop some other things throwing a football rather than just and then Jennings rolls out, gets a hair of pressure, and just throws the ball deep down the sideline, hoping Draven Durrell makes a catch. There's got to be more passes in the arsenal.
The one thing I thought that was the one pass that was positive was that little dink over the middle to the tight end. That was a positive pass. He went out in the pattern. Nobody picked him up because we throw to the tight end once every seven games. And, you know, that was a nice little wrinkle to the game plan. It was open over the middle. Everybody's covering the outside receiver. Incorporate if that's all he's got, the short ball, and he feels comfortable throwing it. And granted, he didn't even throw that hard. It looked like he took a dartboard to throw that pass. But hey, if that's what works, that's what works. I think we could be one hell of a screen team if we could get it together. You know, that's the other thing. We don't see that, but we got the outside speed. Why don't we give something like that a shot?
Oh, well, especially with teams that are stacking a box against our passing game. Can you imagine if we break one of those?
Exactly. You get a lineman or two outside with our receivers blocking, yeah, we could be dangerous on the screen.
Yeah. So, I mean, so a lot to build upon. You know, you kind of take it with a grain of salt. I mean, yeah, Kentucky was a 5-1 team coming in. I mean, there's nothing to sneeze at. They had a couple of decent wins, but I guess you really look at the SEC East and how it's shaping up with the exception of Georgia, you know. I'm not poo-pooing the win. Don't get me wrong. I'm not poo-pooing a 41-3 victory. But I just want to see, like, the worst thing that can happen is them come out on Saturday night and fall behind 14-0 against defense. So
without a doubt.
Hopefully this instills some kind of confidence going forward. They seem to, we know about this young team. This young team is resilient. I mean, they showed it against Wisconsin. They even showed it against Mississippi State. Now, on the road against Jordan Hale was a complete, on the road at Auburn, against Auburn at Jordan Hale was a completely different story. Oh, so,
yeah. You know, and the other positive side of the ball is defense. We made a couple of changes on defense. Jamal Adams was a beast the other night. He was a freaking beast.
Yeah. Yeah, I saw a defense swarm to the ball and actually stay within their assignments for a change.
And I think we finally got a middle linebacker. Well, he may not have all the right assignments. At least he is nailing it to the ball. He's not getting blocked out of the play.
Right. Yeah, and that's going to be imperative. You're going to have to get strong linebacker play. You're going to have to get strong cornerback play this weekend because Ole Miss throws the football, and they have a senior quarterback who's very talented. He has three good wide receivers. So, I mean, granted, they don't run the ball a whole lot. They run the ball just enough to kind of keep teams honest so they can chunk the ball all over the place. But they're not really an air raid team. They're kind of balanced with a lean, with a slight lean to throw in the football. But we were kind of that same way last year, except we ran the ball a little bit more because that's what Les Miles does. But when you have – we saw it last year. When you got a senior quarterback with talented guys on the outside, there's a lot of plays to be made in the passing game, and that's going to be a key for LSU to try to contain and slow down. Bo Wallace is prone to make mistakes. Now, he hasn't made a whole lot this year with the exception of the first half against Boise State. But, you know, is he a guy that we can get rattled? I mean, I don't know. A senior quarterback, you know, kind of been around the block, you know, so.
But if there's ever a team that's primed for an upset, it is Ole Miss this weekend. I mean, you got it granted. They're hearing about the atmosphere, though, that you got game day. That you got the emotion factor and the atmosphere factor, you know, 100% in LSU's favor. Does Ole Miss say, well, they're not giving us any respect and play that card? That's, if I'm them, that's the card I'm playing. But, you know, as far as having everything in our favor, the way you want it to go, the way we're improving, you know, granted, we got a long ways to go, but we are getting there. We are that team that everybody's saying, oh, crap, this is a team we talked about at the beginning of the season. You didn't want to play them at the end. Are we on that cusp of jumping that line and making that jump right now?
Yeah, this team, it's kind of a, and I guess every week you kind of can say this about this team. Is this a turning point for this team? Can this team kind of get over the edge? Can this team come out and compete with a team like Ole Miss? It's hard to talk about Ole Miss and not, you know, in kind of picturing their top five team. They're not a formidable year in and year out perennial top five team, but for this year they are. And right now they're much better than us on defense. They definitely throw the ball a lot better. But the one thing we do better than them is run the football. So it's a matter of, you know, we cannot afford to fall behind early.
We can't get in a shootout either.
Oh no, we don't have the capability of getting in a shootout. Don't even worry about that happening. So we get in a shootout, it's 45-10 in favor of Ole Miss. So I'm just letting you know that right now. Yeah. But we've got to be able to do something in field position is going to be key, because we can't be pinned up inside our 20 the whole game with the lack of passing that we do against that defense. We've got to hopefully our defense puts us in good situations, and that's going to be key. Can the defense put us in decent situations? Can they make some plays and not give up the big passes? We saw defensive backs get burned on so many routes against Mississippi State, and I don't know if that was because they were scared of Dak Prescott's feet, and he's like fifth in the conference in rushing right now. You know, Bo Wallace, while he's got some escapability, he's not really a threat to just take off and run. Like, they don't call design runs with Bo Wallace like they do Dak Prescott. So was that more along the lines of why we got burnt so many times in pass coverage against Mississippi State? And then tackling. Of course, we talk about tackling every week. So
yeah, but we're at least swarming to the ball. It is team tackling now.
Yeah, if you make a play, wrap up and make the freaking tackle. I mean, that's going to be those are the key points.
Yeah, I agree with you there. You know, and I'll kind of leave you on this because I do have to run, and I do apologize for tonight to all my many fans out there. But all 10. But, you know, if you want to see these Ole Miss LSU games have that tendency, especially in Tiger Stadium right before Halloween, You know it. The history dates back, what, 50, 60, 70 years in this game, that something odd's going to happen, and that's going to – and I'm just saying right now, I think something odd is going to happen that's going to determine this game. You know, not necessarily normal runs, normal – this. It's going to be some kind of fumble on a kickoff, something crazy that happens, and it's going to wind up being a close game. This may be another De La Husse game, you know, coming down to it, and have the crowd –
7-for-7 of field goals this year.
7-for-7. What they're going to do is they're going to take one big huff like the big bad wolf and blow the ball through the goalpost. I'm predicting it now. There you go.
I'll take a 3-0 victory. I'll be good with it. This is Ole Miss's highest ranking since the 1959 Billy Cannon Halloween run game. So in Tiger Stadium, I can't remember all the other years in Oxford where they were ranked, but in Tiger Stadium, this is their highest ranking since that game. So, which they were coincidentally ranked 3 that year too. So.
Well, you know, on that note, I am going to have to leave y'all, but good luck to the Ole Miss brethren. But I hate to say it, but all our Mississippi State boys said we have to beat y'all.
Yeah, so we got to do it for them.
Yep, do it for the state.
We got to do it for Starkville.
Stark Vegas.
Thank you, Pat. Thank you, Patrick. Me and Podcat will close us out.
I appreciate that. Tell Podcat I am sorry.
All right, back up on the Go Show in partnership with AnnaValleyShook.com. We're here talking to our guest of the week. As we every week we bring in a guest. We try to get somebody from the our sister SB Nation sites. And with us this weekend, Bob Lynch from Red Cup Rebellion. He was with us last year, and we didn't hate him too much, so we brought him back in again this year to talk about the Ole Miss Rebels. So. So I guess you're doing something right. We brought you back for a second year in a row, Bob.
Yeah, I'm happy to be here. I guess I didn't offend too many people, so here I am.
You're not going to offend too many people after they listen to what me and Patrick have to say half the time. So it's all good. So so the Ole Miss Rebels, man, what, 7-0, ranked number 3. Mm-hmm. Got to be pretty fun right now out in Oxford.
It's absolutely. I wouldn't say uncharted waters, but for anybody under the age of 50-something, it's definitely uncharted waters. It's unusual to be so confident in your team. That's very unusual, and a lot of people are handling it well. Some people, myself included, don't really know how to handle it.
Right. Just enjoy the ride. Ride. That's the best thing I can tell. This is Ole Miss's highest ranking since that Halloween night, 1959, if I'm not mistaken.
Absolutely.
They were either ranked, I can't remember, they were ranked 1 or 3. Either they were 1 and LSU was 3, or it was vice versa.
I believe LSU was number 1 that year.
Yeah, because we hadn't lost a game since we won the national championship the year before. Since that infamous, the highest ranking since that infamous night, and I guess really since the 03 Eli year, y'all probably your best shot at hitting and getting that coveted SEC West crown that's escaped y'all for the last since the inception of the SEC championship game too.
Yeah, absolutely the best shot we've had. Absolutely.
And segue right in. Let's talk about the quarterback, Bo Wallace. You know, a guy who's been around, prone to making mistakes in the past, except when he played LSU last year in Oxford. But, you know, this year, you know, he didn't come out in the Boise State that game in the first half. I think he had 3 interceptions in the first half against Boise State.
Yeah.
But since then, only 3 the rest of the season versus, 17 total touchdowns. So let's talk about, his maturation. I guess we always use that word when we're talking about quarterbacks and everything like that. But he's just – he kind of seems like as Bo Wallace goes, so goes the Ole Miss offense.
That's a really good point, and it's very accurate. You know, he has matured a lot. He's a senior now, so he's definitely, mature. He's familiar with the system. He knows what to do. He is making smart decisions with the football, not turning it over. And when he does that, the offense is able to score enough points to win. Another point that needs to be mentioned is, you know, he had shoulder surgery 2 seasons ago after his first season at Ole Miss, and he was never really fully recovered from that in his first year. His arm was still kind of weak, and now – his arm is a lot stronger. He had a full off season to really build up his strength. And you can really notice if you look at his game footage from last year versus this year, he throws with a little more velocity. He can get a little more air under his deep balls. And so that's also helped him tremendously, just having a healthy, rehabilitated shoulder. So I think it's a combination of his experience and having a nice working shoulder that's making him a pretty good offensive player.
Right, and yeah, and when you're aided by that defense, I mean, that defense is, especially in the offense that we're seeing, you know, over the last couple of seasons in the SEC, we've kind of seen that shift from, you know, from a defensive league to a more offensive league. To put up the kind of defensive numbers Ole Miss is putting up, I got to admit, it's pretty impressive. It's very 2011 LSU Alabama-esque.
It's a good defense, no doubt. And it's again, I think that's a great comparison. The LSU and Alabama 2011 seasons, those were excellent defenses because they were talented at pretty much every position. Both of those teams were. And certainly that describes Ole Miss this year. If there is a weak link, it's probably the linebackers, but even they are pretty good. I think they would start for a lot of teams in the Southeastern Conference. Not every team in the Southeastern Conference, but I think we got a few guys like Robert Kimdichie, Cody Pruitt, Cinquez Golson. These are guys that anybody would take in this league playing really – and they're playing better. We thought they'd be a good defense because they're experienced. This is better than we expected. This is a really, really dominant defense. They're good at forcing turnovers. They're good at keeping teams from reaching the end zone. I mean, just everything you want out of a defense. It's absolutely complete.
Yeah, I'm admit to you right now. I really thought after the Alabama win, I really thought you'd go on the road and kind of have a letdown against A&M, mm-hmm. but that just wasn't the case. Now A&M's, you know, the jury's kind of out on A&M right now, but still to go on the road after that big win in College Station to come out like that. I mean, that's I think you got to point to leadership, and I think you got to point to how good the coaching's been over there, mm-hmm. too, with Hugh Freeze.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, that was a game that a lot of people sort of penciled as a big letdown. And even Ole Miss guys who were, you know, were saying that regardless of what happens against Alabama, people were saying that's really the test is if they lose against Alabama, can Hugh Freeze get them excited enough to play A&M? Or vice versa, if they beat Alabama, can you sort of not – avoid that? Can you avoid that sort of hangover game, right, that a lot of people like to talk about? And there's an old saying that in college football, defense travels. That, you know, yeah, you go on the road with an offense and they might not perform well, but your defense will perform pretty well if they're talented enough, even on the road. And that's certainly what happened with this Ole Miss team. The defense just really kept A&M out of the game. A&M scored 20 points, but mind you, in the fourth quarter, Ole Miss was leading 35-7. So the right. defense played a conservative, you know, hey, you know, don't get hurt kind of game after that point. So really, A&M only really scored 7 points when it mattered against against Ole Miss.
Yeah, and that's, I mean, for that to be, I mean, that's the highest point total y'all giving up all year. I mean, you look at the stats, you look at, you know, your first in the nation, I think 10.5 points a game given up. Mm-hmm. And but you look at LSU. LSU's eighth, but that's very skewed because in SEC play we're giving up, I don't know, like 106. So
yeah,
but I mean, it's kind of both. I mean, y'all've been kind of pretty much balancing the points y'all giving up because y'all gave up, I think it was the 15 to Lafayette, 17 to Bama. So I mean, it's not skewed from other games. It's more balanced out than what LSU's. It's not hills and valleys like LSU's defensive scoring is what I'm trying to get at.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Well, and also there's another that scoring defense is always a funny stat because they don't remove things. Like, for example, Alabama got a scoop and score against Ole Miss.
Yeah.
So really on offense, they only scored 10 points. And then Lafayette got a safety. They backed us up with a really nice punt on the one and got a safety, but it didn't mm-hmm. matter at that point. The game was in the fourth quarter anyway. So,
yeah.
So there's definitely some thing. And you also, if you really wanted to, you could take out A&M's garbage time touchdowns, and the number looks even more impressive. It's something like eight points a game or something. Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, it's been impressive. And shifting back to the offense a little bit, we're talking about Bo Wallace, and it doesn't hurt that that array of receivers he's thrown to, and Treadwell and Cody Core, and is it Sanders? Vince Sanders, is that the
Vince
other guy's
Sanders,
name?
Vince Sanders, yeah, Vince Sanders, yes. Yeah.
I mean, that's an impressive array. I mean, I running the football, I think it's obviously the weakest part of offense. But when you're tossing it around like that, all you really need to do is run the ball just enough to keep defenses honest. And is that kind of what Ole Miss is doing, or just Ole Miss just struggle to run the football a little bit?
I think Ole Miss has struggled to run a bit. I do think Ole Miss in the interior of the offensive line isn't really where it should be, I feel. our guard and center play has been inconsistent, so it's made it really tough to establish a running game. And there's this narrative about Hugh Freeze, especially when he first got to Ole Miss, that he was sort of this, you know, air raid kind of guy, but he really isn't. He actually really likes the read option. He really likes to run if he can. But it's really been frustrating this year establishing a run. You know, Jalen Walton is a guy who's been in the system for a while. He's a smaller back, but he runs pretty hard for his size and has good hands as a receiver as well. But you know, he's just not able to really get it done against SEC play, I think, because the guard center play isn't there. But as you pointed out, all Ole Miss really has to do is run just enough to keep defenses honest, and they've been able to do that so far.
Yeah, again, and we're talking to Bob Lynch from hey, what's going on? Somebody honking in the street.
Somebody doesn't like me talking on the phone here.
It's all good. It's all good. we're talking to Bob Lynch from Red Cup Rebellion. Again, SB Nation sister site. That's www.redcuprebellion.com. If you're looking to find some Ole Miss information, anybody who visits our site, go to that site and see a lot of the same stuff you see on AnnaValleyShook.com as well. So you come into the Tiger Stadium, LSU 6-2, but not a very impressive 6-2 to this point. And I asked our Kentucky guests this last week, and I'm asking you the same thing. Any chance y'all coming in just kind of taking us lightly, you know, to give me some kind of glimmer of hope in this game?
If you would have asked me that a few weeks ago, maybe I would have said that. You know, as you know, Ole Miss fans really care about this game. Right. And so I do think the players themselves probably care about it a little bit as well. Mm-hmm. So there's that dynamic. Also, you know, this team, there's been sort of a narrative that, they're due for some sort of letdown or some sort of disappointment game. And they really haven't done that in the past month. And right. So it's really at this point hard to say that they will not be playing, you know, at their highest level, especially the defense. Now, there have been times when the offense was sort of like looked like they were in a real funk, but that's never been the case with this defense. So if anybody's coming to play, it's the defense.
Without question. Yeah, you touched on it earlier by saying that the defense travels. I mean, it's a very accurate assessment. I've seen it time and time again in Baton Rouge as well, you know, talking about when we had much better defenses on the field a few years back. But, you know, it's one of those games. I mean, you look at it, it's, you know, and barring the fact that who would have saw this coming, which with Ole Miss and Mississippi State, you know, both being top ranked, both being undefeated at this point. So you kind of it's all kind of coming to a head for an Egg Bowl showdown here at the end of the year. But, you know, otherwise, usually, and, you know, I'm kind of touching on y'all, one of y'all most famous alums, Mr. Shepard Smith from Fox News. He stated on that show that, you know, it wasn't so much Mississippi State. It's like he always geared up for LSU, and I kind of new school LSU fans don't really get the whole LSU Ole Miss rivalry. It was kind of entrenched in me through my parents and my grandparents about how big this rivalry was. I mean, I've seen old, you know, 8mm footage of my grandfather and a friend, an Ole Miss alum, you know, cutting off each other's tie after whoever won. You know, this rivalry stems back a long way. And you're talking about we talked about the 59 game and nobody under the age of 50 not really knowing much about it unless they have parents or grandparents who kind of brought them up in that culture, which I was brought up into. So I know all about it. And, you know, it's not, I mean, these days, you know, everybody's more focused on Alabama. I still hate Ole Miss. I still hate Ole Miss with a passion. So especially when they come to Baton Rouge. Just to be frank,
it's a great old SEC rivalry.
Right.
You know, we've been playing each other for close to 100 years now, and it's always been not every game has been competitive, but a lot have been very competitive, and a lot have been really exciting and a lot of fun. And one thing, you mentioned Shepard Smith. Shepard Smith is an old school Ole Miss fan. I think a lot of new school Ole Miss fans are probably more geared towards state, but the feeling is there. And the way I like to describe it is that Ole Miss fans really like to beat LSU, and Ole Miss fans really hate to lose to Mississippi State. I think that sort of explains the difference right there. It's not like we get excited to beat State. We just really hate losing to them. We see it as sort of a blemish, as it were.
without question. Yeah, when I say hate early, of course, I'm talking about it in sports terms, and I think you know what
I'm talking
about
there.
Yeah,
I understand.
Right, so, you know, I don't want to have to get the fisticuffs with you over Skype, so.
Oh,
no. So, but anyway, but so let's kind of break it down here a little bit more. What do you see? How do you think Ole Miss needs to come into Baton Rouge and kind of what do they need to do to get out of there with a victory? We don't really pose a whole lot of threat. I mean, other than somewhat of a decent running game.
Well, you know, LSU's still got a pretty good defense as far as I can tell in terms of, you know, talent, especially in the secondary. So I think it'll really require Ole Miss getting a lead and getting a lead early. I think that scoring in the first and second quarter is going to be crucial to both teams. If Ole Miss can score early, I think that the defense will be good enough to limit LSU to the point to where Ole Miss can win. There was another radio show I was listening to, and there was a theory postulated by the host of the show that Hugh Freeze feels that if the team scores 20-something points, they'll be good enough to win in any game they play. And so far, that's been true because nobody's scored more than 20 on us.
20.
And that was A&M. And again, they were scoring points when it didn't even matter. So I think if the offense can come out and score some points early, and they'll just be able to kind of lean on the defense and win that one. That's what it comes down to.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. That's all I keep thinking about is LSU needs to do something to get. I mean, this is going to be LSU fans were. Now, LSU fans packed the stadium a little bit from Mississippi State. But we didn't know Mississippi State was going to be what Mississippi State is to this point. Now, later in the season, you know, late October, Ole Miss is established. I mean, the fans are gearing up for this game. I think LSU, the win last weekend kind of breathed a little bit of life. I know they breathed a little bit of life into me. So I couldn't have been more wrong about a game last weekend. I didn't think Kentucky was going to come in and beat LSU, but I wouldn't. And I kind of played it up to where I thought they would. And I kind of joked around with our guests last week that they were going to come in and win by 21 points and they had nothing to worry about. Mm-hmm. But I honestly thought it would be a field goal game either way. I did not anticipate LSU going and just blowing the doors off of Kentucky. I think that points to a few things. I think it points to really, with the exception of Georgia, how really weak the SEC East is in comparison to the SEC
Absolutely.
West. Yeah. So, I mean, you talk about Ole Miss scoring early. I think LSU, I mean, it's imperative for LSU to jump out to some kind of lead, whether it's 3-0, 7-0, bounces need to go LSU's way because that defense is hardcore. If we're in a position to where we're down 7-0, we got to start and we get into a field position battle and we got to try to sustain drives against that defense. We're in trouble. I mean, we're in absolute trouble because we can't move the ball with any type of consistency. Throwing as far as mixing it up, we just don't do it. And we're going to have to do something. We have to do something other than just, you know, Anthony Jennings drop back and just throw 40 yards downfield to Trayvon Darrell. It's just not going to work. It's just not going to work. So LSU needs to kind of discover an intermediate passing game in this game a little bit. And that's something that me and my other co-host Patrick is going to talk about and have talked about before. So, but yeah, you're right on point with either team trying to get an early. It's important for y'all. From the standpoint that you're on the road against a team that, you know, if we get any kind of life breathe into us, it's going to be an exciting matchup. But if y'all jump out early and y'all control their field position, I mean, I the ball's in your court without question. I mean, I think it's obvious.
Mm-hmm. So. Absolutely, I couldn't. You know, it's one of those things. It's Saturday night in Death Valley is always a an interesting situation for any team, regardless of how good they are. It's just an incredible atmosphere, and it's going to be tough for Ole Miss to score early, I think, especially against that defense. But, you know, that's really the key. It's not going to be an easy game for either team. So, you know,
no,
it should be good SEC football we're watching this weekend.
I hope so. I mean, I was really kind of excited for that when we traveled to Auburn early in the season. That kind of really bursted my bubble. I think it bursted a lot of people's bubble. So I'm kind of hoping for a somewhat better performance because we just – you know, against the top tier SEC teams, we just haven't performed well to this point. And it'll be, you know, this game will go. I thought the game last week would show a lot about LSU. I mean, each week is going to show more and more about what this team is going to do, you know, going forward into next year and things like that. And for y'all, I mean, right now, I mean, the time is now. You have the senior quarterback. You have the talented defenses. You have playmakers at wide receiver. I mean, you run. We talk about running the ball. You don't run the ball a whole lot, but yeah, leading rusher when he does run it, he's effective. He averages 6 yards a carry. So
yeah,
that's nothing to sneeze at. So
he's a big play guy. That's kind of what it is. Like he'll get bottled up the line of scrimmage, but then he'll kind of wiggle away for like a 12-yard gain or something.
Yeah,
that's kind of what he does.
Gotcha. So you traveling down to Baton Rouge?
Not this time, no. And I'm actually pretty upset about that. I have cashed in all of my chips and goodwill for the Ole Miss versus Auburn game on November 1. Got my ticket and I'm traveling for that one. What I try to do is I try to go to one away game a year, and I spent all that on Atlanta for Boise State in the opening week.
I got you.
So,
yeah.
Yeah. My dad lives in New Orleans. I spend a lot of time in Louisiana. I can get to Baton Rouge very easily. I just made a mistake in not choosing to go there this year.
That's all right. Auburn's a better matchup anyway. So
it'll be a good game. I mean, either way, I think both of these are going to be pretty good games.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. So, looking forward to it. So, I'll leave you with this. You have any score predictions? Are you shy away from that, or do you want to?
No, I'll make one. I haven't put a lot of thought into it as far as like actual score. What I'll say is, Ole Miss 24, LSU 13. How about that?
That'll work.
Yeah.
So,
again, it comes down to defense, I feel.
Yeah. Yeah, wouldn't that surprise me? Y'all, not only y'all 7-0, 7-0 against the spread too. So,
yeah,
for you gamblers out there. So,
yeah.
All right,
Hugh Freeze is very good against the spread. Those of you who like to bet money on football games, his record is like 30-something and 11-something, like against the spread. He's very good against the spread. So
that's not
keep
bad.
That in mind for your future bets, folks.
That's not bad. So, all righty, Bob. Well, appreciate you joining us. Where can the site that what? Site, are you personally, where can fans find y'all on Twitter or any kind of other social network?
Absolutely, yeah. So redcuprebellion.com, we're part of the SB Nation network, just like In the Valley Shook. We're part of the SEC on SB Nation. 14 fantastic sites, actually 15, you count Team Speed Kills. So
right.
15 mm-hmm. fantastic SEC sites. You should check all of them out. We're at redcuprebellion.com, Twitter, redcuprebellion. We're also on Facebook. You can just Google. I mean, not Google. You can use the search tool in Facebook and find us as well. We are definitely worth your time for the LSU weekend. We're going to have a lot of previews and whatnot up.
Good deal. All right, Bob. I appreciate you joining us. And best of luck to y'all on Saturday.
Of course. You too.
I tell you what, why don't we just go through some of these picks together? Because
we can do that.
If Pat's not here, I might as well lend my voice to this, as I did win the pick 'em last week by some miracle.
Ladies and gentlemen, that's Podcat, the man behind the scenes. That's the voice you're hearing right now. He and I is going to go through the Go Show Pick'em. If you're joining us for the first time this season, if you go to AndTheValleyShook.com today, you will find the Go Show Pick'em Challenge. It is a weekly Pick'em contest where we pick about 12 to 13 games against the spread every week. There is a year-end prize for the top winner, but there's also weekly prizes. Nice little, simple little gifts we give out to the weekly winner of each week, and like I said, we pick about 13 games against the spread. We're not going through all 13 games, but I'm going to pinpoint about half a dozen, and me and Podcat are going to give a quick little synopsis on what we think. So take this to the bank, literally and figuratively. So you want to pick the games, Podcat? You want me to do it?
I'll let you pick the games. The only thing I'll mention about the pick them this week is there's what should be an inconsequential Miami-Virginia Tech game on Thursday night. It's mostly on the board this week because, well, for one, the spread's only 2 points. But this game, especially on a Thursday night in Blacksburg, is always very highly entertaining. So,
right.
This probably has absolutely nothing to do with how the ACC is going to turn out this year. Neither
Not
of these
at all.
Teams are all that great, but this will be Thursday night is going to be, tonight, I guess, it'll be a highly entertaining game in Blacksburg.
Yeah. Without question. And two Big East teams just squaring off. Two former Big East teams just squaring off. Well, Virginia Tech's getting 2.5 at home. And I went with the Hokies just because they beat Ohio State earlier this year. Because I haven't watched either one of these teams play. Is Ja'Cory Harris still the quarterback in Miami?
No, man.
Okay.
Not at all. But they bought, except like as you said, except for Virginia Tech's one upset at Ohio State, they've both pretty much done absolutely nothing. A common thing somebody brought up to me this weekend, though, was that I forget which it is, because the ACC divisions are completely forgettable by name and by who's in them. But
right.
This division, the one with Virginia Tech and Miami in it, is on pace for almost everyone in that division to finish 4-4 in conference. So we've been watching it. A couple of folks have been watching it and charting it for a couple of weeks. And with the exception of Duke, who has already run away with and secured that division, that it's the ACC is a mess. The ACC is like worse than the SEC East this year. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, that's the ACC. It's Florida State, Duke, and everybody else.
Yeah, Duke.
Hey, go David Cutcliffe, man. Good for him.
Indeed.
Good for him. So I never heard you actually say who you were picking.
Oh, I'm taking Tech. I can't. Yeah. No, in a game where teams are pretty much evenly matched, I can't take against Blacksburg at night.
No, you can't. And they have the best high school college football stadium in the country.
Oh yeah.
So. All righty. What we got? Let's go in conference here. The game Kentucky was looking ahead to, and why they got drilled by us. They're hosting the Stark Villains. Getting 13.5 at home. Mississippi State coming off a bye off of those two huge victories. Now they got to go travel to old crappy ass Kentucky. But I think they're good enough to cover the 13.5.
I do think State is good enough to cover as well. I believe this is the first time the CBS game of the week has ever been at Lexington for a football game.
Negative.
Really?
LSU, Kentucky, 2007.
Well, wasn't that a night game, though?
It was a 2:30 game.
Oh, that's right.
It was Danielson and Vern.
That's why I remember it being a night game, triple overtime. My bad.
Yeah, but it lasted until about 12 o'clock. So yeah. It started at 2:30.
A long, painful night.
Yes, I don't remember them being in Lexington any other time. So.
Right. I see State having no problem with Kentucky. The spread's a little bit high for my taste. But at this point, State's proven that they can hang with it, so maybe I'm just worried for nothing. But State's got this one.
I just go with the whole SEC West versus SEC East advantage here. And it's just, sure. I mean, the SEC West is so head and shoulders far better than SEC East, with the exception of Georgia. So, I'll take State in the 13.5. Dak Prescott's worth that. So, Let's give the Big 12 some love. West Virginia traveling to Oklahoma State. Actually, West Virginia is getting 2.5 in wherever Oklahoma State is, but that's Stillwater.
Yeah.
I'm going Oklahoma State in this one. Isn't there some going on with them when Les Miles is the coach? That kind of got
a story
that's really not a story.
Yeah, that last year's Sports Illustrated investigation has investigated by Oklahoma State this week, and in a rare joint statement between Oklahoma State and the NCAA, they pretty much called those allegations bullshit.
Okay.
Which is, just great for Sports Illustrated's reputation right now.
Without question.
Mr. Thayer Evans is finding himself some new party flyers to write about next week, I guess. In this game, West Virginia shocked the whole damn Big 12 last week by beating Baylor at home in a noon game and continuing to riot well into the wee hours of Sunday morning. If you haven't seen it, there's some great footage floating around the internet of Morgantown PD breaking out the rubber bullets and tear gas at about 11 o'clock on Saturday night for, a midday win over Baylor. That's the weird world we live in. Baylor is worth riding over.
That's what moonshine does to fans.
It does. And I'll say this, good on them. I know the people I met in West Virginia a couple years back had a damn good time after this one. But, I almost didn't want to take Oklahoma State in this. But Stillwater is such a hard place for people to play at. And West Virginia is still... it just seems like a fluke that they beat Baylor. They still don't really play defense well enough, but who in that conference does?
Right.
I'm basically only taking Oklahoma State because it's a home game for them.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. I'm going to Oklahoma State as well. I mean, while Ole Miss and Mississippi State might be good enough to overcome the whole quote unquote letdown factor. I don't know that West Virginia is. So, and if they got that excited over beating Baylor, which Baylor, you know, good team over the last few years, but you know, not perennial by any stretch of the imagination. They get kind of talked about, and they always kind of tend to fizzle out towards the end, and drop some games that they shouldn't. They shouldn't. So, they got that excited over that. They're going to steal one. I think they're going to lose. So, and not cover. That being that, let's go to Pac-12. Arizona State still kind of hanging around, the 14th in the country, 5-1, traveling to Washington. Washington getting 2.5 at home. I'll let you start off with this one.
Two things in this. Arizona State is really playing well. They got that nice Hail Mary against USC, and with the exception of getting their doors completely blown off by Oregon on some random Friday night in the middle of the night. But let me stop right here in a second. The Pac-12 has the worst television deal in all of college
football. Oh yeah, this game, yes.
All of their good games don't start till about 9:30, 10 o'clock at night. They're almost all on weekdays. I'm kind of surprised there wasn't one this week. And you know, they complain that there's an East Coast bias. Well, the East Coast is not going to watch your games if it's midnight before halftime.
Right.
You know.
Yeah, they really need to take a page. They need some SEC influence or something if they want to try to increase their, because they have a terrible TV deal.
Just
terrible.
Awful. Just awful.
Terrible.
Help me out here. The guy from Boise State who's coaching at Washington.
Chris Peterson.
It really hasn't gone as well, I think, as he might have hoped so far for Washington. I know they're only 5-2, but from what I've read, it hasn't looked like a very good 5-2. And I think Arizona State's just playing a whole lot better right now. I'm taking the Sun Devils to win this one on the road.
Yeah, I'm with you on that one, too. So we didn't have enough time to get a prediction from Pat, but you and I will go ahead and do the honors. You can sit in for Pat and predict this game. So
hang on. We can't talk.
Oh, you want to pick another one?
I thought this is the SEC. We have to talk about Alabama at Tennessee, right? I mean.
No, I don't.
That's mandated by the conference. I mean, that's obviously the most important game of the entire.
Okay.
Year, really. Okay. I mean,
Tennessee's getting 16.5 at home, and they're not going to cover.
Nope, not at all. Bama's going to wipe the doors with them again, just like they always have. The only thing I can hope to see is maybe somebody will throw something at Kiffin and they'll get in a fight and Saban will have to kill him himself, and that'll be interesting to watch on a highlight reel.
It would be. So, that'd be a great gif. So, yeah. Or gif, or gif, however the hell you pronounce it. A meme.
And the magic moving pictures on the internet.
That too. Yeah, always fun stuff. All right, here we go. So Ole Miss, highest ranking since 1959, traveling to LSU, ESPN. Is this Nessler and Blackledge?
Yes, indeed it is.
Yeah, two best guys in the business as far as college. Well, with the exception of Fowler, does a good job too. When not, he's back calling games again. I like Fowler. I actually kind of like Herb Street's analysis too, on when he's actually doing games and not, you know, doing it game day. Mm-hmm. But Nestle and Blackledge, I like both those guys. So, not that I'll be watching a game, I'll be in the stadium. So,
right.
We've talked about it, podcast. You know, my heart says one thing, my head says another thing. Is yours saying the same?
Just about, man. Like I told you earlier, I was all prepared last weekend to go into that Kentucky game, maybe eke one out, maybe lose by a field goal, be convinced that this team is just not ready for this year, and it'll be, you know, we'll get them all next year when things get better, but you go out and you whoop Kentucky by so many points, and you suddenly start to get hope again. And, you know, I'm picking LSU to win because there's not a damn thing on this earth that's going to make me pick against them. But I'm going to say that, you know, I'll say this. Ole Miss has been waiting damn near 50 years to give us an ass whooping for Billy Cannon's run, and they got a chance to do it on Saturday if they really want to. You know, I don't want it to happen. I'm just saying it can happen, and I am steeling myself for the beatdown that may possibly be coming on Saturday. I'm picking us to win, though, so okay. I have hope.
I can say LSU's going to cover, and this is the funny thing here, because I've actually got LSU checkmarked on the pick 'em. But I'm doom and gloom. I got to play the doom and gloom angle now. I started it last week with Kentucky, and we won 41-3. So being a superstitious sports fan that I am, and I guess I should check mark Ole Miss too because I checked mark Kentucky last week. So doom and gloom. I mean, if LSU covers, LSU's winning this game. It's 3.5 points, in my opinion.
Yeah.
So I don't think we lose by less than a field goal. I think if it's a field goal game, we win. I don't think we lose by a field goal. But, you know, and I'm assuming you're going to put this on after the conversation we had with Bob Lynch, but he said, you know, 24-13. I kind of see that happening. I don't know. If LSU don't get opportunities in field position, LSU's going to have a tough time scoring points. And that being said, they I think they lead the conference in interceptions, yeah, and yeah. And then like you said, they're chomping at the bit a little bit to wait for, you know, one of those just long down the field passes to make a play somewhere, and I think there's definitely turnovers to be made. We can't ill afford to turn them, but we haven't turned a ball over, I think, in a conference game yet this season, which is kind of incredible.
I think we had one late against Kentucky.
That's right. Yeah, Brandon Barron.
They put Harrison.
Disregarding that late Brandon Harrison interception. You're right. So that in itself is, I guess, somewhat impressive if you want to find a silver lining on some of these games. But doom and gloom, whatever. Ole Miss 31, LSU 6. So, yeah. But no, but
I can give a score earlier.
Honestly, do feel there's 8 wins on this schedule somewhere. I just don't know where they are.
Yeah.
I mean.
Well, you know, I mean, and we talked about it earlier, Arkansas certainly looks beatable. I still don't think Arkansas, you know, as sad, as improved as they may be this year, I'm starting to think that they're gonna go a whole year without winning an SEC game again.
We just don't match up well against them, though.
No, we don't. But
that's what scares me. Yeah. I mean, and A&M is just looking, you know, man, and we always kind of. You know, Chavis can always kind of defend. He's kind of got Kevin Sumlin's number a little bit.
Yeah.
As far as defending the passing attack, so
he does.
You know, College Station doesn't scare me as much as it did after they beat the shit out of South Carolina in week one or week two, whatever that was. So, but I honestly think there's 8 wins on the schedule, whether it's the 2 road games or I honestly think it's a split. I think we beat Ole Miss, Alabama, and we lose one of the games on the road too. So I just don't know where it's at. It's kind of. Who would you rather beat? I think, and me and Starvin Marvin, that's a blast from the past for you old school Go Show listeners. We're talking about this yesterday. Who would you rather beat? And I'm kind of on the fence because we talk about new school LSU fan versus old school LSU fan, and I'm in the middle because I dislike Alabama, but I was brought up just hating Ole Miss, like Tulane almost.
Well, and if you're thinking of reasons to do it, I mean, assuming that Bama is more or less out of the national championship picture at this point. I know some of the pundits have them, you know, have them as like a number 4-5 team looking out.
Yeah.
But, you know, realistically this year, if the SEC may get 2 teams in, but it's at this point, it's only going to be State and Ole Miss. Unless Alabama finds their way into Atlanta in December, there's no way that they're going to make the playoffs.
An LSU victory would certainly help.
Yeah,
it would. For them.
Yeah,
for them this weekend. I'm talking about. Yeah.
Well, and that's so. The thing. Would it not be nice to end Ole Miss's undefeated?
It would be without question. Yeah. As you were saying that, that's exactly what I was thinking. So,
that old saying, "Misery loves company." Might as well take them down with us if we're going to have a bad year.
Because God knows we've been to Ole Miss a few times. Last year, mm-hmm. I mean, a chance to compete, you know, for the SEC title, and we go and we lose in Oxford. I mean, that's.
Oh yeah.
You know, I mean, granted, we lost to Alabama, you know, but it was a week later. So
I hear you, and you know, we've done this to them at Ole Miss before. You know, we watched Eli Manning trip his way to a SEC Western Division co-champ banner that they still hang up there. So, which I was heartily reminded of this week on Twitter. Somebody sent me that clip again, and it was fun to watch.
Oh yeah.
I hadn't given a score just for completion's sake. I'm taking LSU and I'm pulling 14-17. If anything has been steady and reliable as a damn rock this year, it's Dela Husay kicking and
field goals, not so much extra points. Well, but I kind of blame it on bad snaps.
Yeah, bad snaps.
I know one of them was.
Yeah. So, you know, if the game comes down to it and we've got to win this on a field goal from anywhere from 50 yards or closer, I have faith that Dalhousie can do it. I'm just,
me too.
I'm not as certain that we can get to that point in the game, but if we can, I'll put my money on the boy with a leg from New Iberia. He'll do it.
If that happens, I'm flipping a car. It might be my own.
Oh yeah,
I'm gonna go all West Virginia and shit.
Oh yeah, dancing in the streets if this one.
Tear down a goalpost for winning against Ole Miss. Who thought that was coming?
Man, I don't like the way the world's turned out. Man, Mississippi's running college football now, and I don't like it.
I play up that doom and gloom angle because it's just kind of funny and it makes for good podcasting radio. But in all honesty, if we can be competitive and just continue to show some kind of improvement and give ourselves a chance somewhere to be in the game in the fourth quarter, it's gonna be exciting. And just the whole excitement of it all. You know, we there's been plenty of games that we've lost. You know, late thinking about Alabama 2012, how exciting the game was, even though we lost. You know, I kind of want that heartbreak and devastation. I really haven't had that much this year because it's been like just shitty games, blowout losses.
Damn.
You know,
yeah.
I'm kind of yearning to be kind of heartbroken because at least that shows that this team was, you know, competitive against a very good team and a very good defense. And you're
looking at a more victory on Saturday.
I don't believe in more victories. I'm just looking to kind of hang my hat on something for next year. Right. So, I'm just looking for steady improvement. That's all I want to see. I just want to see steady improvement week to week. I don't want to see regression. And we saw regression. We saw improvement, I guess, a little bit in the fourth quarter against Mississippi State. But that was fool's gold because we got the doors blown off against Auburn the very next week. So, you know, I don't want to come off of this high of beating Kentucky and just get our bubble burst in the first quarter. You know, so.
See what we can do here.
I don't want to leave in the third quarter down 34-6. No, I want to stay for the whole game. I want to sit in traffic for 3 hours.
I want there to be more than 5 people sitting around me at the end of the game this week, man.
All right.
Because let me tell you something. When it gets windy in that stadium and it's not packed, it's like the Superdome, man. It gets cold.
A little chilly.
It gets cold on them bleachers.
Yeah. A little chilly. All righty. Well, you heard more podcast than he probably wanted to give you and more than you ever really want to hear. So, anyway, for Patrick Morris, for Podcast Behind the Scenes, and again, thank you to our guest, Bob Lynch, from Red Cup Rebellion. This has been the Go Show, your original LSU podcast. We will see y'all next week, hopefully talking about a sweet LSU victory over those Ole Miss freaking Rebels. Go to hell, Ole Miss. Go to hell. We are done. Come on.